Yep.
So I forgot to get a new intro song for our new show. So we're playing this one.
Yep. I think we played that one for Shane Henderson.
It was for Shane Henderson because he's a heavy metal photographer. It'll have to do for this week.
It'll be fine.
Here for it.
Well, g'day everybody. This is the Camera Life podcast, the Random Photography Show. It's episode one of the Random Photography Show, but it's episode 50 of... You can do the applause now, Justin. You've got a Steam Deck. Episode 50. Oh, it's too late. Missed night.
How many buttons do you have?
Not many. I like this
He's got too much control. That's the problem. No.
Anyway,
it's
odd because it's
Monday. Lads, yeah. I'm doing an intro. It's Monday. Sorry. It's Monday evening here in very sunny, warm Victoria, Australia. It's the what date is it? I don't know what date is. The 10th February. All of a sudden.
Yeah.
Was it just me or did January feel like a really long, slow, horrible month? It felt drawn out.
No, it was sunny and warm. It was nice. Yeah. I had a good time. I had a great time. I had a great January. But it did fly by for me, actually. It's the opposite.
So it was fast.
It was fast. Whatever. It felt like a blink and it was over.
No, it's fine. I thought you guys were on my side. For those of you watching along at home or listening along later on an audio podcast of your choice, this is The Camera Life. And yeah, this is our first alternative time slot, I guess they say, in TV land. We're coming to you. It's evening here. So what time is it where everyone else is watching? Let us know in the comments.
Philip Johnson says evening, gents. So,
well, he's saying it's evening. Where is Philip?
He's saying it's evening.
Thought I should know that.
This is our new weekly random show, the Random Photography Show.
Yeah, it is a bit random, and we didn't rehearse this, as you can probably tell. We're joined, obviously, by Jim. G'day, Jim.
Hi, Greg.
I just had a look at...
If you saw the thumbnail, we were supposed to be joined by Grant. He's had some technical difficulties.
So
he's one of the OG hosts, but you know he will be on one of these shows in the coming weeks.
We'll drag him on.
We could always just get an AI version of him.
I'll see if I can. It's a hot topic.
I suggested a cardboard cutout.
Yeah, maybe we should do that. Get some. All right. So look, tonight's show is 100% experimental, but 100% something that we're dedicated to bringing to you every week. We thought we'd try a different time slot. We're still sticking with our Thursday morning shows. Nothing is changing there. We'll still aim to bring you a photography superstar or videography superstar every Thursday morning or Thursday morning here. But we thought we'd give this one a crack and see what we can make of it.
It's our chance to talk about whatever, you know, when we've got a guest on, we want to really dig into that guest story and put all the focus on them. Whereas this is our chance to just talk about anything and hopefully talk to you guys in the chat a bit more if you're in there. And we'll have guests on, you know, different guests every few weeks, but it won't be for the purpose of interviewing them. It'll be for the purpose of getting their opinions on random stuff that we want to talk about.
Indeed.
So if you've got any questions, let us know.
Put them in the live chat because also we're giving away a camera strap tonight. So if you ask a question in the live chat, you'll go into the draw for a camera strap. We'll draw that within the first half an hour of the show. I've got a rough plan to figure out how we do a random entry draw winner. So comment, ask us a question.
So the winner wins a strap.
Yep.
All right.
And there could be a bonus prize. If we get to, we're almost at 900 subscribers. So if you haven't subscribed, if we hit 900 subscribers in this show, I'll also give away like a hoodie and a t-shirt as well, like one of these. And a nice warm hoodie like the one that DigiFrog's. I don't know if Frog got a hoodie. But anyway, this hoodie's floating around.
Didn't you send him one once you got home? You didn't have any giant size because he's a giant of a man.
He's a big man. We're currently at 893 subscribers. If that hits 900 while we're on the show, we'll do the merch as well. But we are definitely doing the camera strap anyway. So just ask us a question. Speaking of
comments, there are some questions already.
Philip Johnson's on Blue Mountains time, 7:30, same as us.
Yeah.
Rick Nelson is at 6:30 in Brizzy because they don't do daylight savings time, which I think is pretty cool.
Do you? I love daylight savings.
Me too.
Speaking of Frog in Tassie, he says, being a weeknight, it makes a great alternative to Home and Away. Is that still a thing?
Is that a thing? Do you not have Netflix in Tasmania?
They'll get it. They'll get it soon.
They'll it's get coming. It eventually.
And Yelena's question, Yelena, you can't enter the competition. You can just take stuff from the, the merch. Anyway, Yelena's question is, where is Jim's flanny?
It's too hot, Yelena.
It is warm.
It is too hot for a flanny.
Yeah. But if it was cold, it would be on.
All right. But so just saying at the moment, currently, if you were to ask a question in the chat, you would have a currently 100% chance of winning a camera strap because no one's asked the question yet. So that's how easy it is.
Did we see Rick Nelson's comment?
Where is that? Yeah, 6:30 in Brizzy.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I missed that. I blacked out for a moment.
It's not really a question. More of a statement.
It is more of a statement. Now, Justin, I believe you were going to start the show off with a joke. Did that ever eventuate?
No, I had too much to do today. I couldn't. I actually asked ChatGPT to write a joke about photography, and it sucked. It was the worst joke ever.
And you say it anyway.
Do you want me to?
Yeah, you got to do it now.
Yeah, you can't.
I'll read it out. Okay. I'll actually read out the conversation because the conversation is a little bit funny. Hey, ChatGPT, please write a really funny joke about photography. ChatGPT says, why did the photographer break up with their camera? Because it kept telling them they needed more exposure. And then it had like a laughing face emoji and a camera.
Oh, it cracks itself up.
It cracked itself up. And I think that's to try and make it sound funnier than it actually was. Anyway, so then I said, I don't get it. And it said, it's a play on words. In photography, exposure refers to how much light is captured in a photo. But in relationships, someone might say, you need more exposure if you think you're not well known or successful enough. So the joke is that the camera is nagging the photographer about their exposure, both in photography and maybe even in their career. So then they break up, and then it did the laughing face emoji that's like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just trust me, it's funny.
That's probably good.
This is the new norm.
Didn't pretend that was your joke.
And then I said, hang on, it got me one more because I did have a little argument with it. I said, that wasn't funny. Try again. And it said, all right, here's a funnier one for you because it objectively knows which ones are funnier. why did the photographer go to therapy?
Oh.
Because they just couldn't focus.
Mm.
You suck, ChatGPT.
It does.
It's better than
don't hear mine?
Yeah, have you got an actual joke?
Why did the photographer photographing nudes get arrested?
Because that's illegal?
Because it was indecent exposure.
Oh.
That Jim, you should put that on your website, on your boudoir website. That'd just be...
That'll welcome in.
I'll think about that, Greg.
All right.
Yeah, thanks,
mate. Just pull up my notes and cross off open with terrible jokes. Done.
Okay, one last one.
Done.
I'm going to roll now. It's late. Greggy's wild. Why was Cinderella so hopeful about her photos?
I don't know.
Because she knew that one day her prince would come.
Oh, I get it. Like prince and prince. Nice.
Yep. Yeah,
nice.
Don't need to explain it. We do have a question.
We got a question. How do you like the Stream Deck? It's actually a Rodecaster Pro 2. And I do like it. I just haven't spent enough time putting some cool sounds and stuff in there. Mm. I did have a shutter sound in there, but I've lost it. It's gone.
And congratulations, Rick. You've gone into the running to win a camera strap. See how easy that was,
simple.
Folks? That's all you have to do. And we'll ship it anywhere in the world.
Thank you, AJ Cooper, for the little alley-oop here. Good evening, all. Mm. Congrats on the OM3 camera strap promotion. Did you guys get to play with one before the release? Yes, that was on my list. I can cross that off as well to talk about. Yep.
Let's talk about it.
We made, this won't focus on me because it's on face focus and Canons are awesome at that, but this OM Systems, OM3 strap, we made these to go with the release of straps, or not just in Australia, but all across Asia Pacific. So Hong Kong, Thailand, Taiwan, Malaysia, India.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it. But yeah, these are going all over the place. We're currently shipping them out as fast as we possibly can. And it's very, very cool. They're like a deep brown color, thin leather. Australian.
Which strap is it, Justin?
Quick release strap. It's our Slim 30 strap. Nice. It's a deep brown top, but it has an upholstery leather back. So it's a little bit customized for OM Systems.
A bit fancy.
And yeah, it has. I'm gonna make this thing focus on it. Come on. Don't worry about
it. Put your hand behind it.
There it is.
Yeah. Oh, there it is.
There it is.
Yeah, that angle on there.
Yeah. How good. It's a blind embossing, so it's really subtle. It's nice, like you can feel it. It's deep into it. Yeah, the guy spent a lot of time getting that right. So we're very, very stoked.
Well done,
very
team.
Stoked with that. But sadly, did not get a chance to play with the OM3 before release. No. They are hot property in the hands of influencers. Yeah. And hopefully in the next couple of weeks. You are an influencer, Craig.
Well, I don't know that I'm an influencer. I did ask, but sadly I can't get my hands on one.
It's not a Fuji, so you don't want it.
I did see an article today say, finally, a camera that expresses the joy of photography. And I nearly wrote to the editor.
And said, have you seen Fuji film? Now,
have you not seen an X100?
Don't get me wrong. The OM3 is very cool, and we're going to talk about it. Actually, maybe we'll just talk about it right now. It's on the list.
Why not?
We'll talk about it now. So we're going to bring it up. But I think you're not saying it's not a good camera. You're just saying for a reviewer to say, finally
there's a camera that's good for photography.
Yeah. It's
the joy, the experience, not necessarily.
Lots of brands have had a good crack at that, obviously, particularly Fujifilm.
Yeah, but Nikon with the ZF, that's a very popular camera. It's one of the top sellers last year
Japan. Yeah.
Because in Japan, people, and in other parts of the world too, but in Japan specifically, I think we talked about this on one of the Thursday morning shows. People are going for older compact cameras because they're easier to carry every day, all day.
Yeah, anyway. Exactly. And
I think
some of the stuff that I like what do you, how much do you know about this camera yet, Greg?
I wrote a, like a preview release information news article for ShotKit. So I know a bit about it.
What do you like about it?
Obviously, first and foremost, the aesthetics.
But just based on everything we can see online.
Yeah, I love the aesthetics. I love the fact that there's no grip because I would only ever put small compact primes on this. I would never put something big. Mm. As you can see, I mean, I'm sure someone will make a, three-legged things or one of those bracket-making companies will put out a bracket soon that'll have a handle on it. Or surprisingly, OM didn't. I think that's a missed opportunity for them. But I do like that it doesn't have a grip. It's got a lot of great features on it. And it's just got all of that tactile feeling that a Fuji camera has. So there's a lot to love about it. You guys, anyone that's listened or watched along, you know that I'm not huge on megapixel counts. I don't have to compensate like Justin does. So, I find that this sort of camera really appeals to me. And yes, if someone offered me one, I would certainly take it. I don't know that I'd go out and buy one.
Okay. And that's mainly just because you're invested in Fujifilm,
And I'm broke. Yeah. I'm in the Fuji ecosystem changing brand. I mean, there's a lot to, don't get me wrong. I've looked at GR3s like Ricoh's and I thought, I could actually do that. Just grab that, two spare batteries and I'm done. I don't need any other bits.
You don't feel like you're buying into an ecosystem with a GR3. No. You're just buying literally it's one, just and done. One thing. Yeah, one thing. Exactly.
I mean, battery life is crap. But this is different. This is an OM-1 Mark II. There's a lot of OM-1 Mark II in this camera.
Exactly. That's what I was going to talk about.
It's got stabilization. It's got some great focus modes. It's got some really fun, modes that, influencers would like.
Are they shipping that like with the 17mm lens, or is that
you can buy it with camera body only, or you can buy it with the 17? Actually, not the 17. I think there's a really cheap kit lens you can get it with.
Yeah,
okay. Like a 12 to something.
Because they released a few lenses as well at the same time. A couple of primes.
Two primes for this and a bigger zoom.
A bigger zoom, yeah.
Now, the primes are remakes of existing primes. One of them...
Okay.
Yeah, so they're actually not brand new optics necessarily.
But they just suit the camera.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. That's cool.
And they've taken a lens that is 13 years old and they've rebuilt it with a metal body for this camera.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice. So it's mostly the same optics. It's had some tweaks. So there's a 17 mil f1.8 Mark II and a 25 mil f1.8 Mark II. And they've been rebuilt with metal bodies. And so you've gone from what was a fairly handy compact prime, probably entry level. You've now got kind of an enthusiast level version of it for this camera. And it was really popular. The entry level version is a great piece of glass. It's really popular. It sells really well. So,
man, it's the styling here, sitting next to the original OM1 there.
Mm-hmm.
They've really gone after it. What do you guys think of the dial thing? This dial.
Have you seen it in action? Have you watched a video review?
Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen the videos of it because it's basically the JPEG profiles.
Well, it is and isn't. You can actually use that dial to access. A whole range. I'm pretty sure it's that dial to access a whole range of different features, including the ability to adjust your curves, your tone curves, and create your completely new color profiles. And it kind of uses it's like a color wheel. And you can circle around the color wheel to choose a color, and then you can go in and out to choose the depth of the color and the saturation. So it's
like color grading wheels, like the new Lightroom ones kind of, or like video editing uses. Like that. Yeah.
But it comes up on the screen or the EVF, depending on what you're using.
Yeah.
And all of the command dials and the function buttons, they're all really customizable. So you can actually swap functions around different dials and things like that. It does have, I think it has 4K, but it's pretty restricted. It's not a videography camera. They're not pretending that it is. This is a camera about photography. The other thing they launched on the same day was a brand new Mark II version of the popular 100 to 400 of the Mzuko ED lens. So they've just updated that. It's more refined. It's better balanced. The other one was very front heavy. The new 100 to 400 is a beautiful balanced piece of glass now. So
there's that color wheel.
Yeah.
On the display. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
But look, I think it's the sort of camera where you could deep dive into all that stuff.
Yeah.
And really make the most, or you can just really pare it back and just like I always say, rely on your exposure triangle and set your command dials to manage your aperture, your ISO and your shutter speed and go out and play, you know. And I think given the size of it and the lenses that you can get for it, it makes an ideal travel camera.
Well, appropriate that I just scroll down to this. Yeah. They're very well weather sealed, correct?
Yeah, really, really well. Like, they've got IP ratings.
Yeah. So this is a travel camera, especially if you want to just throw that 17 mil prime on it or whatever. Yeah.
The original versions of those primes weren't weather sealed either.
Weren't they? So they've updated them to match the camera. So if you throw that on there and then like this is head out to the beach or a desert or a waterfall.
Yeah. And when you think about it, it's kind of ingenious. So they've already got an optical design they know works. They just have to retool a new body for it and adapt it. And it's going to sell like hotcakes.
I think it'll sell really well. Yeah.
All the reviews have been glowing.
When do you get yours, Justin?
I've asked them for one. I've asked them. No, just for a test to start with. Just a test. I only need a test drive just to see.
Well, you should have one to put some product photos on it.
100%. But they're just, you know, what camera launches are like. Like they have just got it.
They'll be scrounging trying to get them already.
Very, very limited supply of, because they're not even shipping yet. So the stuff they've got would be for the biggest of the influencers, not us.
Yeah,
we're getting there though. Because hang on, where are we at now, subscriber wise? We're currently, we're at 894. We've got one extra. Come on, guys. I can see there's 10 of you watching.
Six to go. Ring your friends.
If you're not subscribed, the 10
watching might already be subscribed.
Girls, then we're giving away a hoodie and a t-shirt.
Let's jump to some comments.
Let's do it. Let me pull this down. Let me bring that down. All right. Where have we got this?
Oh, let's jump to the OM3 comments first at the end, Rick.
Oh, good idea. Yeah, Rick Nelson is very keen for the OM. Quite surprised at the OM3 and excited. I thought it was going to be a relaunch of the EM10-4? I don't know what that is. To brand it OM Systems. Thankfully, they went this route. Yeah, they definitely went all out. Like Greg said, it doesn't seem like it's got a lot of compromises from the OM1.
Is it like just my screen or can you just see my eyes?
No, that's what everyone sees. we'll just leave it up there for a while, Justin.
Hang on. I've got the wrong layout because when we go to the screen, there we go. I made this all today. How cool is it? We got everything's happening.
That's great. And I like to connect to your craft logo slogan.
Yeah, popped it down there, you know, and then I made the banner go across the bottom for the competition. I like it.
Fancy.
I changed my lighting to green just to be a bit more fun.
I
kept mine dark bedroom-esque. but look, the OM3, it's expected to sell for $2,300 US with the 12 to 45 kit lens.
$3,199 in Australia, which I assume is for the body only.
That's the body only, I think.
The body only.
Yeah.
So,
but if you're already an existing OM shooter and you're looking to pick up a new street camera or an everyday camera, and you've already got some lenses, even some of the older versions of those 17 and 25 mil, it's still a pretty good price. By, you know, I know it's up there with an X100 Mark VI and an XT5 even. It's getting close to that price, but you know, it's compact, it's lightweight. I don't know, it's a lot to love.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's going to be super popular. Mm. And
I hope it does well. I hope it does really well for OM Systems, not only because of our collaboration with them, but I think the more that brands do cameras like this, it takes us back to our conversation earlier last week where we talked about, you know, why isn't someone bringing out a proper film camera?
Yeah.
You know, and they keep kind of hinting that they're kind of they're just around the corner from doing it, and then, you know, but this sort of thing shows people that you can have simplicity and old school styling and you know, in something that's really popular. So I hope it does well.
I think there's definitely a bit of a resurgence in like the old school point and shoots, even like younger people are picking them up and they're enjoying that they're not amazing, you know, they don't take epic photos, but they do capture what you're looking at. So,
yeah.
I'm keen to try this thing because I haven't shot with a Micro Four Thirds for a long time.
And
it would be interesting to see what the... Actually, that's not true. I think my DJI Mavic 3 is actually technically a Micro Four Thirds sensor.
It's not technically a camera, though.
Not really. I mean, isn't it?
Well, it is a camera. Like this, is it? Come on.
No, but
people tune into this show to be informed and educated.
Yeah, and they also like drones. I'd say
it's technically a camera.
Speaking of being informed and educated, Yelena just sent me this photo she found of Jim in one of his flannies. I don't know if we'll be able to see it. The exposure won't be right.
Is that Jim?
I'll have to. Yeah, it is Jim. I'll have to.
Is it on? I'll have to figure out
another way to show you. Oh, hang on. I'll turn the brightness down.
And how many photos does Yelena have of Jim in his flannies? Oh, there we go. That's Jim.
That's not me.
That's guns.
That is not me.
You should start cutting the shirts off, the sleeves off, Jim.
It is you.
Look at that.
She must be on Photoshop.
Yeah.
Also, Grant says, looking cute today, Jim. He's got this Jim again in Grant's profile picture.
Hey, Grant. Thanks for dialing in. Sorry you couldn't join us tonight.
Sorry, Grant, you can't be entered into the competition. That people would say it's...
Well, he hasn't asked a question,
that's
true. Yeah.
You can ask a question if you want to join the competition.
Oh, dear. We're way off track. What else did
we can jump back.
I didn't know we had a track.
So, Rick, we could jump back. We do have a question here, Justin, from Rick.
Hit me.
Rick wants to know, his wife wants to know, where are the fun colors of the camera straps?
We used to have some more fun colors, but honestly, they didn't sell very well. We had white and green.
Stitching and stuff. I still got some with stitching.
I'm going to see. Yeah.
I actually got this question during the week.
Did you?
Yeah. So I was at a camera club. I was at the Melbourne Camera Club, which is, I think, Australia's oldest and biggest camera club. Might be wrong there, but it's pretty grand. Went there. I did a talk on the ethics in photography because I'm such an ethical person. And someone came up to me and said, I've already got Lucky Straps. And I think she got a BFOP one last year. And she said, but I really want a wrist strap. I want a thinner wrist strap in like the aqua blue, the aqua kind of bluey green.
The teal.
So I shot her down very quickly on that one. So we don't do that. But this is the lady who also said she's found a bunch of barramundi leather.
Can you even make leather out of fish skin? When you
she said
text,
she's got
like,
some, so I just believed her.
I don't know if you can. I don't know if you can make leather out of.
But either way, I've dobbed Justin in for the challenge. I said, yeah, send it through. Justin will make something of it.
I'll give it a go. It'll be a very small.
I think it'll be fun.
Unless she's caught extremely large fish, it's going to be an extremely small camera strap.
Oh, no, barramundi, you're huge. Although once you shrink the leather, I guess.
Yeah. Well, put it this way. Sometimes, put it this way. We can't make camera straps out of like a sheep or goat leather. It's not big enough.
Yeah.
So I think they're bigger than barramundi.
I guess you could do a wrist strap, surely.
Maybe. Anyway.
Like two.
Grant wants to know, do you really need a tripod these days? That's a question. He's obviously reading my blog on the Lucky Straps website. Self-promotion. If you haven't read it, go to the Lucky Straps website and there's a blog about whether you need a tripod for photography anymore.
Mm. You need it for podcasts?
No. You do.
I'm just using a MacBook.
We can tell.
Yeah, where Jim and I are crisp. That was a good article. I mean, it was because you don't need a tripod anymore. Like, I don't travel with a tripod, especially with the stabilization in modern mirrorless cameras. And if you've got in your lens as well, you can handhold like crazy slow shutter speeds.
It was in response to one of the questions I heard a lot at BFOP when people were being told what their class, their workshop involved. A lot of people put up their hands and said, do we need our tripod? I found it an interesting question. And I thought, I got to write about that. So I did. I like that sort of article about exploring those sort of, you know, everyone says, I know you need a good tripod. Because the reason was I got sent a really good tripod, a carbon fiber, ultra lightweight. Mm-hmm. Who made it? Heipi, H-E-I-P-I. It's a W28. S or Q. I think I've got the Q version. It's like a $600 or $700 tripod. Gorgeous. Lightweight, small, but I don't need it, so I sold it. Bought myself another bag. Another backpack.
Depends what you're shooting, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you're shooting like Astro.
Yeah.
Or maybe some portrait stuff, but
yeah. Yeah.
A few comments coming in. I'm just reading them. Just trying to see what's happening with these OM system pricing comments. OM, did you see that the OM 1 Mark II and the OM 3 were both listed on B&H for $1,999? Interesting, seeing the same price for them there. Here in Australia, it's a few hundred dollars cheaper than the OM 1 Mark II. I guess maybe they're just more aggressive with their OM 1 Mark II pricing over there. Like B&H is probably usually pretty aggressive on pricing, whereas the OM3 is probably at its standard price because it's a brand new camera.
Whenever I do pricing stuff for articles, I just go straight to B&H because they're generally the industry standard for retail.
Yeah, pretty close to as cheap as you would. Like this is in the US anyway.
Yeah.
Pretty close to as cheap as you would find it.
But sometimes I've had deals where I've actually considered, well, that's actually cheaper than trying to find it anywhere else here.
Really?
It's just shipping. Yeah, even with shipping, sometimes it's borderline, you know.
Interesting. Yeah, I thought that there used to be a thing back in the day and it kind of disappeared. I don't know whether they got more aggressive on pricing in Australia or if shipping and everything got more expensive. But, yeah, it used to be.
Well, COVID ruined that.
Yeah, that's true. That is very
Everything true. Became more expensive to ship.
It
will be interesting to see how the trade war, I don't want to get political, but how the trade issues in America will affect pricing of stuff for the States or for anywhere else.
depending on where the products are coming from, if they put any tariffs on stuff. Yeah.
Yep.
It could be interesting.
Because it will just be passed straight to the consumer.
Yes.
Yep. It's not hurting the businesses. It'll hurt us.
Yeah. I mean, it might hurt the businesses a little bit, ultimately, in terms of like people can afford less gear, so sales will maybe go down a little. So it could impact the businesses. But yeah, you're right. It's not like the businesses absorb those costs. They have to pass them on. Mm. So it does just jack the price up for the consumer.
Anyway, see what happens.
So Elaine is saying, and the winner of the lucky strap is, because I said it would be within the first half an hour of the show.
She's keeping us on track.
She's keeping us on track from the comments, but I'm not going to draw it just yet because not enough of you have entered. And I know there's 11
and
of you
Grant
watching.
Doesn't count.
So I'm going to give you guys another five minutes to ask a few questions to get entered, because at the moment it is a very, very small group of people entered into this competition.
Oh, no.
It's an easy way to get yourself a camera strap. Make a comment.
Hmm.
Easy peasy.
There's a couple that have just come through.
Send it to you tomorrow.
I better start adding them into my random selector. Ian Thompson says, if you buy from B&H, would that not be considered a grey import by manufacturers and not warrantied in Australia? Greg, take it away.
I don't think it'd be warranted in Australia.
No, it probably would not.
No. I mean, you could get it serviced, but it would be at your cost.
What's interesting is if you're an international photographer, you can potentially get service in other countries, I think.
Yeah. You know, if you buy enough and you're like on their kind of, like radar, Fuji used to, I don't know if they still have it. Fuji had one that was like Fuji Professional Services.
Yeah, Canon's got and CPS so, and Nikon's yeah, got so, APS. So yes. if you're that yeah. member, you won't have an issue.
No.
When you're a consumer, I don't know, it's a grey import, which makes it a bit of a grey area.
It is a grey area and it's risky. Because if you get something here and it's damaged on delivery, I'm sure B&H will cover it, but what a pain in the ass. Your brand new camera and you open it up and the box is crushed and...
You would be wanting to be saving a fortune to kind of take the risk.
Yeah, it'd have to be worth your while. Another one here, which is an interesting question. I think that we all need to answer this one because I think we all need therapy and help with this. I have a question for you. Thank you, Wendy, for your question. You've gone into the draw for a Lucky Straps leather 45. What is it? The Deluxe 45.
Deluxe 45.
It's our top of the line strap. The best one we make.
Yeah.
Wendy has a question for us. How many camera bags is too many? How many camera bags does a photographer need? The answer is never enough.
Don't let Justin answer this question.
How many do you have, Jim?
Four, maybe five. Not that. I've actually probably got more than I think, really.
Yeah.
I think if you were one's Justin's.
Actually, yeah, I think
three of mine are Justin's old ones.
Yep. Yeah, I have a lot.
How many have you got, Justin? Let's hear it.
Mate, I don't even know. In my nearby vicinity, I don't know, six, but there's one or two in the van. There's four or five on a shelf there, and then there's multiple ones just kicking around the shed. Some of them are dead. Some of them just need to be sold.
Or Elena. Elaine's crying out loud in the chat.
I reckon I've sold a good 15 or 20 over the years as well.
How many Pelican cases do you have?
I only have one Pelican case. They're expensive.
This is the big one they are.
That's your new go-to now though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's sort of where my gear lives because I can take it out and just drop it in the van as it is. It's kind of just, so my gear lives in the Pelican case, but I rarely would ever use that on a shoot. I usually then... put it into another bag to move around on a shoot. The Pelican case is kind of just where it all hangs out.
I just sold a bunch myself because, well, they weren't mine to begin with because I write reviews, camera gear, lenses, camera bags. Often I get sent a camera bag and I'm not expected to send it back. And so I had these two huge boxes full of camera bags and I just put them on. I offered them to you guys. Thank you for not replying. And because you've obviously got your own problems. Elena saw the email and deleted it.
I was going to say, she took my phone off me.
And Elena says, we're giving away camera bags now.
So if anyone wants one, just DM Elena.
I could probably run a giveaway for 20 camera bags.
But given that I have some neck and back issues, I will often buy a bag that's not a camera bag, like a lightweight sling. I've got like about four Balroy slings. I've got about three Crumpler bags. One's a camera bag, the others are not. And I'll often just put my camera straight into those because I prefer that lightweight, taking all the other extra fluff out. Because I typically only shoot with the camera, one lens, maybe a spare lens, depending on the shoot I'm doing, and a couple of batteries, and that's it. Right, I don't take much gear. But I did get, before we went to BFOP, my friend Adam from Wandered, who's the Australian distributor of Wandered, he gave me, very lucky, he gave me a Wandered 21 Provoke, and that is a stunning bag, incredibly comfortable. And so that's my main camera bag, and I've almost sold all the others away. And the bag that I ordered, if you were listening earlier, Wendy, was just an everyday carry backpack from Bellroy, just for my work stuff. And even though I work at home, I still need a backpack for it, right?
Yeah, of course. You're gonna have a bag for every situation. Yeah. Just like, hang on.
Yeah,
here, I have a bag that Rick Nelson says, goes in like
I
that.
I have a camera bag for every situation, every for different situations.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's critical.
Ian wants to know. Yeah,
no, there's not.
Let's jump to the one from Ian. Where'd it go?
I'll hold the phone. I'm on it. Done. Just trying to run a competition too.
A GAC pack or a backpack or other. If I'm taking a lot of gear, I take a backpack. If I'm taking a little bit, I take a sling. What about you, Jim?
Yeah. Well, now, like when I was shooting a wedding, I'd shoot with a like two cameras and one lens in a pouch on my belt. So, and I have a bag that's just a ThinkTac Airport Navigator that I run around.
But it's got wheels.
Yeah, unfortunately.
You should see what we did to these bags years ago. How long have you had? We've had those bags for 10 years. Not
10 years, quite. I reckon, yeah. Because we changed, and now I've gone back to it. I've gone back to a small bag.
The Airport Navigator is a very cool bag because it's like a small rolly case that accesses both.
Carry-on size.
Smaller than carry-on size. It's compact. Yeah. It's a rolly, and the top flips open when it's like just standing straight up with the handle there. The top flips open and you've got your camera's holstered just straight in the top, but also the front unzips and kind of hinges out. So you can access from the top, and then the front hinges open and you can access from the front as well to get things that are underneath the cameras. So if you have like flash triggers and all that stuff in there.
In loads of two directions.
And we got some like 8 or 9 inch pneumatic tires, and I'd like modified the axles and stuff. So instead of taking like rollerblade sized wheels, it had like off road wheels on it because all of our weddings were in the country.
Oh, like a Nana trolley. I've seen those.
Yeah, but they were like off road.
The Nanas jerry rigged their own trolleys now.
Yeah, it was like that, but an extreme one.
Like that.
We got axles like machined up, and
yeah, it was a lot of work. Wow.
That was pretty epic.
I was looking at making them, no one was making this stuff. Either making a kit or like, do we try and make a bag? But I thought that would probably be a very limited market for an off-road camera bag. So if you want an off-road camera bag, let me know.
Grant
changed his profile picture to Jim in a flannel.
Let's go.
Nice.
What sling bag should I buy? I definitely need one. Here's my recommendation. If you want to spend a bit of money, then definitely go the Peak Design 10 litre. The 6 litre is too small. I think what does Grant shoot with? He's a Canon shooter, isn't he?
He's a Canon. Yeah. So he'll have a R5 with a reasonable size. Most of his lenses are pretty decent. Yeah. So I think he would need a proper camera sling, not like a, because we've both got Bellroys.
Yeah.
Which are really good for like little. Little
everyday carry.
Three, an everyday camera kind of thing. But I think you could fit it in there, but it wouldn't be super comfortable.
No. Yeah. But if you look at a Peak Design, Moment Shop, if you go to Shop Moment, MOMENT, they've got a sling. I think it's a 10 litre sling. It's good. It's nice. It's made with like this, that sort of tech fabric. It's fairly new, so that's pretty cool. It's hard to beat the Peak Design. The Wandered slings aren't, I'm not a fan of them.
They're bulky, but they're very bulky, durable.
And they've got this weird laptop expansion pocket at the back.
Yeah, but you would never put a laptop in a sling anyway. Well,
but they put one on them anyway. So I think you can get it with the laptop sleeve or without the laptop sleeve.
Yeah, you can definitely. I think it's an extra. So
for my money, Peak Design is the best brand for that particular product. A camera sling.
If you want more of a, like,
this like is a donkey.
Like, yeah, well, it's like a messenger, but it's small, closer to the size of a sling.
Light
this,
too.
This it's very really light. It's made from Cordura, and it's got these. You can add and take off. This comes off like little accessory pockets and stuff. You can make, you know, expand it a little bit. And the newer version actually has a fidlock closure, which I much prefer to this, like, this hook thing. It's actually got a magnetic fidlock. Fidlocks are amazing. This is a Woten Craft, and
they make amazing. Yeah,
they're really a nice cool brand.
And their backpack, edgy.
Not so much.
Yeah, their slings are good.
It's got too many flaps and stuff on it, and none of them really work.
Sort of trying too hard.
No, it's just, I think it suits people that really like fiddling around with all this stuff. And as you know, Jim, I'm more of a, I need to rip my stuff out of my bag right now and toss it in the flower bed while we're shooting at a wedding. And it just didn't work for that.
Yeah. And Woten Craft suit a particular style. They've got a bit of an edge. Like, you know, if you ride a motorbike, not like a Harley, like a, you know, if you ride like a road bike, a nice road bike and
one of those, a nice leather jacket, like a cafe racer kind of motorbike, no fairings, you know, cool painted fuel tank.
Yeah, like Jason Lau's bike.
Yeah.
Anyone that hasn't seen.
Very cool.
Wendy has said, accumulating bags is an illness, then obviously. Yes, it is. And it's not just photographers. My partner, Sash, accumulates a lot of bags. She's got some amazing bags from...
Hang on a minute. Wendy says, he has a lot more bags than I have shoes. Are you counting both shoes? Because each shoe is a shoe, Wendy. So you can't count pairs. You have to count each shoe.
Hang on, Justin. I wouldn't be talking about shoes if I was you.
Yelena, what have we got to say about Justin's shoe collection?
If Justin has a bag problem, he has a severe shoe problem.
Moving on, because we've got to draw. We've got to draw this. We've got to draw this thing. What's it called?
Let me just give you a couple of quick comments. So Grant says, does Peter McKinnon use it? I don't know. I think he's got his own branded bag.
No, he did a collab. He uses the, what are they called? Start with M, but it's not Moment. N, Nomadic.
Mindshift?
Nomadic Peter McKinnon edition. It's one of the biggest Kickstarters ever or something. It was crazy. That bag sold a lot.
Philip, good question. You've just entered the draw for a lucky strap.
I already had him on there from his. He got in for the good evening, gents. I was like, that's not a question, but he's always here. He's our man, so he's already in. He's in the draw.
Oh, we've got someone here from Rare View Photography
in the draw. We better read the question out though.
Yeah.
I have a camera bag and a time lapse gear bag, both backpacks, so I can carry all my other crap in my arms. So if you are going out to shoot time lapses, do you have to take both backpacks? And then how do you carry those?
One front, one back.
Interesting.
Or one on each arm.
That's living, by the way.
That's living.
Did you say
what about when you fly? What about when you're flying, Levin? Do you have a camera bag up with you in the cockpit, or do you have to keep that locked away somewhere else?
Good question. Because
for those of you watching along, Levin flies. He's an Australian commercial airline pilot. He flies the wide body planes now, and he's a trainer.
Let's get him back on. He was great.
Well, we should have got him onto one of these. We'll get him on one of these in the next couple of weeks. It'd be fun.
We can have more random chats about other things.
This is officially your last chance to enter right now because we're going to do the draw. I think I've got most people in. So if you want to win a camera strap, it's very, very easy because you've basically got a 1 in 10 chance at this point.
Good odds.
All you have to do is ask a question in the live chat and you're in the draw to win a Deluxe 45 from us, the Lucky Straps, our finest leather.
But getting back to Philip Johnson, yes, we are going to beef up.
We are.
And with any luck, Jim will be joining us this time.
No.
Well, maybe for part of it. I've got a wedding on the Saturday of BFOP, unfortunately. But maybe might be able to pop up for maybe the Friday or maybe the Sunday. We'll see.
We'll figure something out.
Yeah.
But yeah, we will be there unless Matt and the team decide they don't want us there, in which case we won't be there. No, we'll still be there. They just won't let us in. But we'll be in Bright.
We'll just be on the outside.
We'll do something. We'll just back the van up next to the food truck, open the back doors, and we'll just start selling straps.
Yeah, maybe.
I reckon that's a winner. And then we'll just blaze off into the sunset.
All right, should we...
We've got another subscriber too. Only five to go.
Five to go. Come on, guys. Get us there and we'll give away a hoodie and a t-shirt as well. All right. So I'm going to present our very official random name picker wheel. Ta-da. Click to spin. This is the big moment. Who's going to win the Camry strap? Why is
How did you
Frog's,
do that?
Why is DigiFrog's name so much bigger than everyone else?
How did
if
you
he
do
wins,
that?
If he wins, he'll...
here we go. We're spinning. Da, 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 da,
good luck,
da,
everybody.
Da. Good luck.
Ooh,
who is it?
Ooh,
oh, my God.
Oh, no.
I'm worried. Hang on. I feel like we need to spin it. Okay.
No, we got it.
DigiFrog is the winner. But I feel I want to just spin it again. Just oh no, hang on. How does this work? Just to see if it only goes to this one big name. If it's like
yeah, it's heavier.
Because I just googled this thing. I don't know if it actually works or not. Let's just see if it goes to someone else.
It might be like a rigged one.
Yeah, maybe. But you're a winner, Frog. Congrats.
Yeah, no, it's not.
I see it does.
Yeah. So Rick, if you happen to look away and look back now, you didn't win.
But
Justin's just messing with
nah,
you.
Nah, you win too. We'll get you something else though. We can't give you a deluxe 45, but we'll get you something else. Hit us up. So to claim your prize, you'll have to no, email me, justin@luckystraps.com.au. Email me, justin@luckystraps.com.au.
And that's how easy it is, folks. DigiFrog, I think he's already got about 8 straps, but you know.
Now he's has another one.
Yeah, he's got 9. Yeah. And who is the second winner, Philip? Or Rick?
Rick Nelson.
Yeah. Congratulations, guys. Thanks for joining, everybody.
He can go with all these camera bags.
Yep.
Yeah.
We're not done yet, though. The show isn't
over. No. I wasn't saying goodbye. No. I was just saying thanks. No.
We're not done yet. You're not allowed to leave yet. We've got some of our photos we're going to look through. We're all going to look through some of each other's photos.
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
And we'll do a little bit of image review and critique. And
I sent through the wrong file size, so please forgive me.
DigiFrog says it's bigger because I have less letters than all else. Okay. I thought it was just because it knew you were awesome. We're gonna have a look through some images. They're from various times. Jim's is from very recently, I think an actual wedding shoot, which is pretty
Saturday.
Cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I think we'll start with Greg.
Mine's a mixed bag.
It's a mixed bag. And we're just gonna look through them. Mostly street some of the stuff photography.
Yeah, I threw a few other bits and pieces in there.
Let me see if I can make Lightroom sometimes just doesn't play ball with. Oh, yeah, it's going to work today.
Mm.
Okay.
So I know that we talked about getting some recent shots, but anyone that's been listening along knows that I've been in a bit of a photography funk, so I haven't done much photography recently. Getting back into it now, which is good. Good. That's all I got to say.
So this is some of your stuff from Japan.
Yeah, this is in Tokyo, Asakusa, Sensoji Temple.
What I know you're going to say Fujifilm, but what exactly were you shooting with?
Most of these are shot with the Fujifilm X70, mm-hmm. which is 16 megapixel. It's like 12, 13 years old now, 16 megapixel. X-Trans 1 or 2 sensor, I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. It's compact. It's all manual controls.
You're shooting JPEG or RAW?
I shoot RAW.
Yeah. So you've edited all these?
These have been edited. I create my own kind of custom recipes
mm-hmm.
in Lightroom. Yeah. This is when I was testing the Fujifilm GFX. I think this was with the GFX, with the 500...
This is why I should have, anyway, it doesn't matter. I should have got you to next time we'll make a collection because Greg sent me these over. These are JPEGs exported out of Lightroom.
Sorry, guys.
But I would have loved for you to zoom in on the GFX with the 500 mil, just to like to pixel peep, like it'll pixel peep.
That was also shot with a GFX and a 500 mil
nice.
From about 8 meters away.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, that lens is just magical. That was shot on the new XM5.
Bit of skating.
Yeah, we've got a skate park around the corner from us. Big one. Like
kids.
Yeah, there was a competition on. I was just walking through. Cool. So Pran has a brand new skate park and it's absolutely massive and they build a brand new half pipe and they hold competitions there and all sorts of stuff. But these kids were going bananas and I just stood there and was mesmerized by how they do it. Like it's phenomenal.
It's a cool shot.
That's a Richmond.
So your street shots, like, would you have stopped to take this, or were you walking and it was just like bam, bam? Or
no,
like,
I would have stopped, pointed my camera at her at hip height, so you can tell it's kind of, it's not at eye height, it's actually lower. And just look down at the screen, because I have the screen, I haven't got the camera here, it's charging, but the screen pointing up at me, so I just look down at the camera and hold it and actually activate the shutter with my thumb most times.
Because
because I'm kind of holding it like that. Yeah.
And you were just looking for that light that was obviously coming in, you're in a tunnel or something.
Yeah, it was very early in the morning, and I saw this lady. I thought she was really interesting. I liked the contrast of her clothes and her skin and the accents on her bag and her hair. And that's a really nice spot to capture street shots because the light is gorgeous and it's got a real retro aesthetic and natural vignetting and all that sort of stuff. So,
oops, you can see these are a little bit lower res.
Coming out of that subway tunnel. Yeah, they are a bit low res. Sorry, guys. I just walked up and looked up and I thought that's a really cool shot.
Yeah, it kind of looks like a robot face. The TVs are eyes.
Yeah, but I'm also looking for light a lot of the time, so how the light's falling across things and textures and shadows and stuff. So it's a shot tower at Melbourne Central. Everyone photographs that.
Yeah, very popular, wouldn't it?
It's just fun to photograph because it's so bloody gorgeous when the light comes through at the right angle.
Yeah, cool lines and cool light. That's interesting.
This was a protest in Melbourne CBD.
Playing up to the camera.
Obviously. Yeah, it was a peaceful protest. Well, that was loud. I had drums and whistles, but this was a pro-Palestine protest. Got a couple of shots that day that I felt quite good with. So this is where I do my more street documentary style and really get in up close.
Yeah.
With something that's kind of big, you know. It's almost photojournalism in a way, but.
Yeah, it's a great shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really happy with that.
I think it wouldn't be quite as powerful without the second lady behind, I think, as well.
Yeah.
I think that just adds, like, if it was just the lady in the front, it would, I don't know, it would kind of feel a bit empty.
Adds a bit of balance. It would be different. It'd be interesting.
It draws your eye across too.
You could probably remove her and to see what it would be like.
Oh, I can, even if you just block her with your hand, like, it's still good. But
yeah, it's a different composition, isn't it? If I was going to take her and the lady on the left out, I would have gone in tighter.
Yeah.
With cropping.
But then you lose.
I would have lost a lot of the context. So, with my street stuff, like my X70's wide, it's 18 mil APS-C.
What's that?
So it's like a 27 mil full frame. It's 18 and a half. I like the context in my street work. Some people like to get in nice and close and block out everything, but I like to get a lot more context. So I like this shot because it was Flinders Street. It's the middle of the day, weekday. Mm-hmm. Flinders Street station's across the road, and there's hardly anyone except for these two guys that were kind of doing their own journey.
Yeah.
The photo looks old.
Like, it does look old.
You could say, oh, that was the 90s. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, with the clothes and even
a bit like there's timeless. Nothing.
Mm.
Because the shadow's so heavy in the background, it blocks all the clutter out.
Well, that's what I like about the lower sensors too, because I don't have to pull out every flippant detail that's hidden. I don't have to push back shadows and pull out shadows and push back highlights necessarily. I know there's a time and place for it. It's just not my style. And so I play on the shadow a lot and make the most of what the camera can achieve.
Oops. We'll move on. Stairs, yellow.
It's cool.
Yeah, good color. Good use of color.
Mm. And the line.
Is she not? Is she looking at you? Not quite looking at you.
She was kind of looking up to see what I was doing because I stopped.
Yeah.
Going down the and look, you know, I'm a big guy, and I'm standing above her, so I'm kind of in a dominant position. So in those situations, I try to make myself small. I'll look up and smile.
Yeah.
Still take the shot.
Smiling's a big one. Just like not looking creepy.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, that's cool. I like the reflection.
Yeah, I just love the light.
Sign.
If you're listening along with audio, you can always come over to YouTube and check these images out later on. But you know, we like to be able to look at some photos on the podcast, so we sacrifice a little bit of our audio content so that we can check out some images and talk about them. Are your like Lightroom profiles that you edited these with, are they based on anything?
Yeah, so they're based on film sims, the existing film sims. So my favorite is Classic Negative and Classic Chrome. Classic Chrome is definitely my favorite.
Is it because your last name's Chromey?
Exactly.
Okay.
Actually, one of my my photography group, the Fuji Photography Group, they know about my film sims and they call it Classic Chromey.
Yeah.
Could we go back one?
Back in 1 sec, guys.
Yep.
Go back one.
This is from BFOP.
Yeah.
So that was the After Dark. That was just my Fujifilm XE4 with a 23mm prime.
It was dark too. So that's
really dark. Yeah, I've had to use a little bit of denoise in Lightroom to pull out just to achieve that strong contrast. But actually, I reached out to this model after the fact and sent her a whole bunch of these images. She was really happy with them. So I was happy with them too.
Yeah, nice. More After Dark
shots. Another BFOPer. Yep.
A little bit of motion blur just shows that it was dancing, like just in the fingertips, you know?
Yeah.
Like there was movement.
Yep.
I like it.
That was just one of the workshops. I just threw a mix of stuff to show that I'm not just a street photographer. Like, I do like shooting others.
How did you sneak that in there? If you're not watching along, that's a photo of me on the 70s night at the Bright Festival of Photography with my custom. Well, it's not. I can't really zoom in, unfortunately, because it's not high res. But my custom one of a kind 70s lucky strap. With the BFOP logo on it.
Well, DigiFrog exactly asked for his awarded strap to be made in flannelette gym finish.
So... Yeah, I saw that.
we do have the black textured strap, Justin.
Oh yeah, 45. Yeah,
yeah. We got some custom stuff. But yeah. we don't have a flanny.
Not yet. I'm working on it.
Cool.
This is a classic Australian like shot. Is.
This was a Bright.
Was it?
One of those moments where I snuck off. I didn't feel like food from the food truck, so I went and got fish and chips.
Again, other than the TV, that like it feels old.
Yeah. But even that TV, I mean, it doesn't quite fit, but not
it doesn't remove from the image. I just mean like that other photo. It is a bit timeless.
Yeah. And I was sitting
nostalgic, maybe.
You can see the stools next to me, the ones just to the right, bottom right.
Yeah.
So I'm just sitting at the bench waiting for my order, and I had the camera like sitting on the bench, pointed at the door, and I just had my finger on it, and I was waiting for this moment because I knew someone was going to walk in because there'd been people coming in and out the whole time I was there. And I just waited for that moment where she just parted those curtains just a little bit. But I love the way that she dissolves as the depth of field kind of she disappears. She's not a full form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like it.
That's cool.
And the signs, the sorry we are closed, and then the will return in signs that are all just there.
Yeah, it's classic Aussie fish and chip shop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't see them as much anymore like that.
No.
So this was one of the rare occasions where I asked someone on the street to pose.
Mm-hmm.
This was just a street shot. I was in Hosier Lane in Melbourne. Famous laneway for street art, photography, and methamphetamines. And she was there. She was actually like some sort of, she was recording her own stuff on a phone. She was a bit influencer savvy. Mm-hmm. And I turned her and said, look, you look amazing. Can I just take a photo of you?
Mm-hmm.
She's like, yeah, sure. So I took a couple of shots of her. Because they're actual tattoos on her. They're tribal tattoos. So she's Islander origins. And those on her chin and down her throat. And yeah.
Beautiful light.
Yeah.
Yeah, it turned out really well. I was really happy with that.
Yeah. I really like the dark background.
Yeah, those eyes kind of just popping through.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very cool.
It all works. It's a great photo.
Mm.
Well done.
Just some, that's AC/DC lane.
Offsetting the, the two people. So we got the big street art on one side and the tiny little person down on the other side looking away.
Well, they're looking at me.
Are they?
And the street art on the left, I think it's like an ostrich or an emu or something. It's some sort of, but its eye is looking at me too. So it's kind of like I've got this juxtaposition, but they're both doing the same things.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That wasn't what I was going for. I only just noticed that then, but.
you can make it art. Can, like
yeah.
That.
Yeah.
Exactly. Just a street shot. I like the play of shadow. It's almost like he's unveiling himself in the light. Like his legs are shadow, his torso is almost all shadow, and he's pulling. He's got this big jacket that he was carrying around with him, and he's pulling it down. It's almost like he's exposed himself to the light. Yeah, just color more than anything.
Yeah, great colors. Pretty timeless too. Coke goes back, goes way back, and that's a classic bottle on the van, so you wouldn't actually know if it was, you know. I don't know if there's much in that would date it within the last 20 or 30 years, you know.
Like, or maybe or that would make it Australian either.
No.
That's Chinatown in
Melbourne. I mean, if you know our signage, you do, but, you know, like because signs change in different countries, but you'd have to know that's a one-way sign from Australia, not from America or whatever. But
yeah. Yep. Oh, this is just a product shot that I did because when I review gear, always I'll do my own product photography rather than rely on stock stuff. It's a challenge that I love, and it just makes the content unique. And
that's nice. Good way to do it.
Nice
clean shot. I have to get you to do some lucky shots.
Yeah,
cool. That's cool. I like that.
That is a cool shot. Rick Nelson loves the harsh shadows on the street. I think that was
thanks, Rick.
Yeah,
the guy. I think.
Yeah, but yeah, always. Yeah, love a harsh shadow in a street photo. Interesting light. Now let's stop pumping Greg's tires up. Let's get some critiques going on because these are almost at the end of his photos. Jim, what would you change about this shot if you could? Forget the fact that Greg was probably moving, had no time to compose. Street's very fleeting, so it is what it is. But if you could change anything, what would you change?
I'd probably just crop a bit off the bottom if I was being and that's only because it's chopping off her feet.
I'm not saying to edit it. I'm saying to go back in time and change the way you shot the photo.
Oh, wow.
Take a step back, Greg, and get her feet in it.
Otherwise, there's nothing I'd really change.
And I'm sure
you would probably too, Greg, if you could have a magic machine where you could have controlled all the situation. But
yeah, of course. And sometimes when you're doing street, you know, I don't chase people for photos. I'll wait at a spot where there's great light, like there is here. Like the inside of Flinders Street Station behind her was almost pitch black because the light was so bright outside, even to the human eye, like it was hard to see. And so I just stood there with my camera at waist height looking down, thumb on the trigger, just waiting for the right person to walk out of the shadow and into the light. Yeah. So
I think you've got the right person there.
That's around the black background.
It was lots of
great shots with people in fancy hats and suits. And
even the fact that she's touching the hat though, as opposed to not touching the hat, you know, like you can't makes make that stuff happen. You just got to like be ready.
The black dress against the black background, like it works.
Yeah.
Very cool. And I think, do you have any more? Let's see.
This is recent. This was last week.
This one confuses me.
What are you confused for?
Where's the owl?
Yeah, someone scraped it off.
It's so Chapel it's in Street. It's a lady walking in front of a big Coles window sign.
Yeah. But for those of you overseas, Coles is one of our supermarket chains.
One of our supermarkets, and you can just see the O disappearing behind her body, but then it just goes OES. And I was like, I was looking at it for a while, and I was like, this doesn't look right. What is going on? And then I realized the owl of Coles is missing.
I mean, you know, I love the light in this space at about 8 o'clock in the morning. This side of Chapel Street just gets this gorgeous light, and I was taking this shot. Actually, the lady I took a shot of earlier challenged me as to why I was taking photos in public. But this lady just cruised through, and I thought, I can't miss that outfit. Like, how cool is that outfit? Cool outfit.
I enjoy that it is, even though, like, I'm not big on logos and signs and stuff. But that one, it's not the whole logo that you can see. And the fact that you've picked the, because obviously the, you know, 2 meters up is probably a full logo. I actually enjoy that it is. As Justin pointed out, the L's not there. Like Yeah. I actually really like that there is letters and stuff. It is interesting.
Yeah, and they're big, and it almost looks superimposed, but it's not. It's just that's just there.
Rick says it would have been so cool to get the person in place of the L, you know, where you could see the C.
That'd be you'd need a.
Yeah, it'd have to be back further for that.
Need a 500 mil lens or something to get him in there.
Laying in the back of a Sprinter van, just like sniping with a massive lens. Not sus at all. No, well, that's all of Greg's photos.
Yeah.
Well, that took longer than I thought, those. Actually.
I sent you quite a few. I didn't mean for us to go through all of them. I thought I'd just send you a selection. But I guess I just wanted to show that just a range of stuff that I do, you know.
Yeah,
these are these.
This is Jim's.
Oh, they look shit.
They're terrible, aren't they?
should we have half a sneak peek from the weekend?
Have a quick cool. through. What do you mean half a sneak peek?
Thanks, Rick. Rick's well, a great photo.
I sent them about almost 50, and I cut. I tried to give you a bit of a story of the day.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You've just trimmed it down. Suspect Film Studio also says, very nice, Greg. Let's look through
Suspect.
Let's look through Jim's stuff.
Yeah, let's go.
I almost just exited the show. So this was a wedding you shot on the weekend. You've quickly
culled the
wedding today.
Culled the wedding, sent them a couple of sneak peek.
A sneak peek.
Yep.
And then this is part 50. Of it. So I sent them almost 50 images. I think this is 25. I think I sent through to you.
We'll go through. We won't drag along too
long
because it's all the same stuff. But stop us if something interesting happened to get the shot, or if you want to tell us anything about it.
And so, what were these shot with mostly, Jim? What were you carrying?
Two Nikon Z8s, and everything here was shot with either a 28, 50, or a 105.
What do you think you got the most images from?
Probably the 50. I could tell you if you want.
I love the high key of these images.
I was about to comment on that as well, where it's like, because a lot of people will desperately try to recover, you know, like they'll shoot, they'll be like, I need to get the sky exposed and stuff. And sometimes it ends up looking
better.
Yeah. Because it is like, you know what, the Australian country is like, it's like sometimes it's just.
Too much.
You can't do it. And it ends up looking like Lightroom is pretty powerful. Like cameras are pretty powerful. So you can kind of expose for the sky and then try and pump everything up. But it looks kind of HDR-y and fake. Mm. You know, sometimes it's better. This looks like what it would have looked like. Everyone's squinting probably because it's bright. And
The sun was behind me. So they're in kind of dappled light. But thankfully they're in a bit of it. They're in the same shadow almost. So it worked out pretty well.
I love this look, and you're using this look as well in some of your boudoir photography that I've looked at.
Mm.
And I think it's really punchy and powerful. I think it's great.
Yeah, probably actually something to talk about here between this photo and the last photo. They're actually shot at the same time. I'm actually using two cameras at once.
Hmm.
So the first photo, one back.
Which one was in the left hand?
That one.
Is that why it's crooked?
I pre-focus
artistically aligned,
and then I have to I hold the second body sort of backwards and use my left middle finger to activate the shutter.
Wow.
And I jam it up against the other camera, so I shoot like this, and this hand I'm just guessing, and I kind of do a test shot and kind of align it, and then I just hope for the best at that moment.
I've seen him do it. It's crazy.
That's amazing.
I don't like it for me because I worry that I might miss both shots, you know.
And I've done that once because the main camera then not this day, but a different day, the main camera back focused, and then I was trying to then correct it because it was in horrible conditions. But most 99% of the time it works out well, and you get a cool second option. So.
Not recommended for the first kiss of the first wedding you shoot.
No,
it took me we'd recommend.
A long time to practice.
You've been doing it for a decade.
With my left hand as well. Yeah. So, yeah, same time, which is cool. And a lot of these are shot, obviously, just as it happened. So they've walked out of in the shade into full sun. So I have to adjust on the fly for exposure and everything.
Can I ask why you went square on this shot? I love it. I think it's unique because we don't see square photos much anymore.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you. I don't think they do. Bring it up in the catalog, and I'll tell you why. I think because there was just nothing on the sides that was worth keeping. Yeah, because all the people were so far away, so the sides weren't very interesting.
Yeah, I really like that. I think it's a really unique look. It reminds me of the photos my nan used to take. They used to all be little square prints with rounded corners.
Commonly, couples will want some, I mean, obviously maybe some verticals, but even squares or whatever for social stuff. To give them a bit of variety in their sneak peek that's not just all horizontals. We often did it as well just for creativity, didn't we? Like hey, that doesn't look good. Let's crop it to square.
Well, if there's nothing there, like if I showed you the original image, you'd be like, yeah, there's nothing worth keeping in that shot other than them. So,
yeah.
This Very is just cool. simple, like just getting the job. Yeah.
It's a nice black and white profile that you've got there.
It is, isn't it?
Mm. Thanks.
Where'd you get it?
I know a guy.
So you're still running my profiles?
No, I think it's updated.
That's really cool.
Maybe. So we didn't have a lot of time. We sort of, the ceremony went a bit longer, so we sort of had to push through this a little bit. So we have kind of not moved much.
So you just kind of
That's gorgeous. Area.
Yeah.
So that's now amazing. We have moved. So now this is out in the bush.
Is that the 50 or the 105?
That's the 105.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Which is, 105.
Yeah. Nice.
50. Oh, wow. Love that.
Yeah. 50.
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
That's very cool.
Yeah. That's probably, I think that's the best shot so far.
Yeah. That's a winner for sure.
Yeah. So when I was editing this, I actually edited it in color. Because I was really trying to keep it color, and then I was like, "No, it deserves to be black and white." Like
it's unanimous. Suspect Film Studio says that's great with 3 T's, which I agree. That is a banger shot.
4 T's,
very well done. 4 T's, maybe. Oh, who's counting? I'm just going to check our subscriber count. Oh, we're at 896. It's like no one wants a hoodie or a T-shirt.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. If anyone's listening that isn't subscribed, jump in. We only need 4 to go. Otherwise, we'll have to give away a hoodie in a different show. Everyone's coming in. Beautiful, lovely shot. Oh, Jim, your tires are getting pumped right up, aren't they?
Yeah. Mm.
Tell me something you'd change if you've got any.
I wouldn't have had the tree poking out of his head, but whatever.
what would you do? AI it?
No, you just
have an argument with your chatbot.
You move so that you don't get the.
I think there's enough
that 100 trees. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. No, that. But there's enough of a. There's enough of a. Like a halo around the top of his head to separate it.
It's pretty well separated, and it's probably hard to see on your screens. I'm seeing a much bigger shot here on mine, and it is pretty well separated. Yeah. I was just being silly, but trees.
No, but you're right. It could be. I mean, normally we would try and put them in the gap. That tree's a fair way away, but it's quite
ideal. If that wasn't there, but that's a very, it's a situation you wouldn't even think about.
Yeah.
As opposed to a situation like, say, this or something where it was much more, if it was much more obvious if there was a tree there.
Yeah.
Rick agrees. He said it's separated enough.
Yeah.
So these next three photos, they're all similar, but they're all, I guess, part of a story. It's something I always do to get these shots, and it always, like, generally works to get a nice set of images.
That's
super fun.
I love that.
And I've actually had people come up, like they've had obviously their wedding, and then I might see them another wedding, and they still like they remember this moment.
Yeah,
And they think it's pretty funny.
What did you tell them, Jim?
It's super simple. I just asked. So it's a little bit of direction. We don't normally do a lot of direction, but with this, there's a little bit. I just asked him to whisper in her right ear what he had for breakfast. But I asked him to do it in a super sexy voice. So
that's cool.
Yeah, it's a bit silly. But
it obviously gets the right reaction. So
it gets the right reaction.
There,
yeah.
And then she's there and then she's cracking up and looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of fun. So their parents both had, that's the cars that are there. Normally, like wedding cars, people aren't. They're not as important to people. This is actually both their parents had these cars at their wedding because they're their own cars. So,
oh wow,
the cars were super important to get,
like one from each side of the family.
Yes. Yep.
Wow, how cool is that?
That is very cool.
And they both so they wanted photos in the back of each of the cars because they've obviously both their parents have both done that. And you know, we did the shot through the window, which is just like wasn't super exciting, but got to get it. But this is, I think, the shot that's
That's really cool.
Yeah, especially with like that white interior kind of throwing a bit of light in there.
You, I'm guessing that you didn't use a circular polarizer to clear the reflections because you don't usually carry one. Because on weeks, we're just kind of run and gun. So you've just kind of had to make sure, like I can see there's sort of distracting reflections on the left side, but you've
I didn't even shot. Like I was shooting through the window and then I saw them in there and I was like, oh, that's a cool shot. So like this was just them sitting in there.
Yeah.
And that's probably, you know, why the mirror's in his head. It's not perfect.
Yeah, I don't think that matters.
Yeah.
At all. It's nice.
It was a bit hazy. Like I had to add a bit of dehaze to try and clear it up a little bit.
Car shots, bright sun.
Bit of front bokeh, trees.
Yeah.
15. So, like, yeah, cake shot, but make it fun.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, donut cake. I saw it.
So this is, like, near dusk, closer to, like, sunset. We were just below, so we'd lost the sun, but that, obviously there's still light.
Yeah.
It was sort of before official sunset, but the sun had dropped below the tree horizon, so...
Yeah, he got a bit sunburned on the sky. He did get a bit sunburned, didn't he?
Yeah, and
I
wasn't sure if I should fix it, but I feel like it's part of the story that he's probably like,
you can always fix it in a few if they want to, but
yeah,
that's their decision. Oh, look at that
sunset,
that's amazing.
So, sort of sunset officially is further to the left, but it was not looking that great, and I sort of suggested that we head around. This is the top of a dam bank, so.
What's your lighting setup there?
There's a backlight behind them, about 5 meters behind them, and then a front light to my left.
Strobes.
Strobes. So two Godox AD200s set up, and we always light for the bride.
Yeah, 11 would get excited about that.
We have done it a few times. We've done it a few times. It's one of those things. It's like
it looks exactly like this, but it has some stars in the background. Yeah, we have done it though.
Yeah, I'll have to pull them up one day.
Mm.
Find I don't even know which weddings they were from. You've done more than I have.
Yeah, and this is just. First hand. So similar lighting setup to before. Yeah. There's a strobe to my right, and then I give a smaller flash to a guest and get them to stand behind the couple and just point it at them, and I move around to block the light, the backlight.
Yep.
So and this just worked out.
Sparkless.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So.
Real life sneak peek from a real life wedding photographer who shot that.
Yeah. Great Thanks. Collection, Jim. They have to be happy with those for sure.
Hope so.
We're way over our hour.
What's your critique, Dustin?
We're going to keep some of your shots. Critique for all of your shots?
I don't know. Give me something.
This guy's shirt isn't tucked in fully.
Yeah, I think you should have stepped back so you didn't get the whole feet. You didn't get the whole foot, so I think you should have stepped back. Nice. I'm joking. That's what you said to me.
No, very good.
Yeah,
tough lighting conditions, I reckon. Yep. So you've done a great job. Like that's a bright sunny day. Lot of harsh light. That one shot with the 50mm in the trees is the only shot they need from the whole wedding, other than family photos and you know documenting the ceremony. Mm. All the others are a bonus in my mind, but that one was a banger.
Thanks.
I was going to show you guys some stuff, but we're way over time. We can do it fast, I guess.
We've still got people here.
Yeah, well, people are still watching.
There's still people here.
I'm surprised Elena isn't in the comments being like, coming back.
Coming to bed.
You promised an hour. You promised to sell more bags.
Get rid of some bags. So first of all, hang on. How do I do this? What's happening here?
Up the top.
Yeah. Couple of shots from a recent mountain bike shoot that I was pretty happy with. Just wait for it to load here. I didn't see a timer. Yeah, look, we're going to just try and keep the shows to about an hour when we don't have a guest on. I know this doesn't look like much, but this was a shot I was very happy with because the light. There's a lot of layers in the background. Oh, see, we can zoom in on my shots.
Whatever.
He's super sharp. He's framed where I wanted him framed. There's a lot of dust layers and stuff in the background, but the lighting was super harsh, and he's just, he was flying.
Can you show us the color version next to it?
Yeah,
nice.
So that's the one. This was shot for a mountain bike review, so we don't get to take shots like this a lot because you're sort of moving pretty quick for a review, so you're getting a variety of different riding situations and stuff like that. Mm. So it's not like a shoot to show off the riding. It's a shoot to show off the bike. More so. Mm. Yep. So it's not like you get to, you know, really frame up a shot. And this didn't take long. Luckily, he could just keep putting the bike in the right spot. And we worked a couple of shots and we ended up getting two shots that I liked. This one was sort of the classic shot that shows the feature, but then I ended up liking this one as well.
That sun flare is...
Oh, that's perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Again, cool. Probably not great for a bike review, but for
not great for a bike review, but like,
there's not enough separation between that tree on the left and the bike rider's right arm.
Yeah, you're right. It does actually have a little bit of separation from the sun. It's not blasting through there.
Yeah, there is. That's stunning.
So I was going to show.
Is there a color version of that too?
Yeah, there's a color version of that. I like the black and white better, but
yeah, the black and white.
Is that a flare spot?
Yes. Yeah. So okay. We got just lens
hard
flare.
To avoid like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of disappears in the black and white, doesn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the green dot does, but the other flares.
The flare, yeah. Mm. That one, sorry. This one.
Yeah, the other one.
Yeah, they're there. It's probably harder to see. It's easier to see on my screen, but it's still... just disappears kind of. I mean, you could probably remove this main spot because it's not very...
No. You probably wouldn't remove that.
Yeah. But
yeah,
doesn't really matter.
So what gear was that with, mate?
Adam Scarigato. This was with the R3 and the 15 to 35, Canon R3 15 to 35 2.8L lens. Which is sort of my go-to's, the 15 to 35 and the 7200, and then I'll sometimes take the 50mm 1.2 as well if I want to be a bit creative, especially if we're shooting a lot of stills, whereas this was a stills and video shoot, so I was in between, you know, every shot you're switching to video and doing video, so it's sometimes hard to get in the rhythm of really making the most of your photography. Now,
and you don't have the 28 to 70 anymore, do you?
No, I sold the 28 to 70 f2. I just wasn't getting enough use out of it. It was fun as a mid-range lens and sharp and amazing, but the 50 1.2 was way more fun and more creative for me. And then I just used the 15 to 35 and the 7200 as the workhorse lenses when you need sort of fast versatility.
Yeah, and a full frame 1.2, you can just obliterate anything behind your subject, can't you?
Yeah. And it actually, everyone always says online that the Canon 50mm 1.2 is slow focusing. I don't know what they're shooting because I've shot a lot of mountain biking with it in pretty tough conditions. They pop over jumps fast coming straight at you and I get sharp photos. So I don't know what they're worried about, but it focuses.
I mean, you are shooting really, with a flagship body too, but still.
I guess maybe they're using
it's a cracker of a lens.
Older bodies, yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyway.
No, cool shot.
Now, yeah, the really other thing cool. I want what to else? Do, yeah. which, well, I've got a set of photos. Where are they? I've got a set of photos here. I'm just looking for them that I wanted to show you. This is from a little bit longer ago. It's a lot of photos, so we don't have to look at them for very long. But I wanted you guys to guess the camera.
Q3.
Camera and lens setup. guess the camera and lens.
Well, what's a Q3, a 28.17?
Yes, but that's not it. Actually, hang on.
Get stuffed.
I need to filter these.
It's an X100. I'm just going to start throwing out camera names.
What cameras do you have? Can you remind us?
Hang on. I need to filter this better. Dang it. Wait.
And is this Vietnam?
Wait 1 minute, guys. I got to cut this down for you a little bit. I can't tell you where it is because otherwise you might know.
Yeah, we'll know.
when I went there and it might give away. I just want you to guess the camera and the lens. Oh, man, what is happening? Anyway, hopefully I've cut these photos down to what they're supposed to be. You can ask questions if you want to get clues.
Another cool shot. Have we seen some of these before?
It is one camera with one lens. You might have seen some of these, Jimbo.
I haven't seen these on the show before.
I don't reckon Greg's seen them.
Is the camera older than 10 years?
No. A shot of Elena just getting pumped up. How's these sunset fingers in the sky?
Fucking
it's crazy, isn't it? It was like these light rays. I don't know what the phenomenon's called, but it was very cool. I haven't seen that before.
Really
cool.
Show me some greens.
You think you can try and guess from the greens?
Maybe.
You guys, I can't believe no one in the chat's guessing. Maybe no one's watching anymore. Anyone out there can guess the camera? The camera and lens, geez, this is taking a little while.
Is it 28, 1.4 with a depth 50?
No.
Is it the 28mm 1.4?
No.
Oh, okay.
I really like
this. No, it's tighter than 28.
I really like these, the feel of a lot of these images.
It's much tighter than a 28. Is it like a 35 or a 50?
I can't say.
That's a 35, yeah?
It doesn't look like 50. No, it's not
50. I reckon it's a 35. Hey, Bruce. Evening, everyone. This was unexpected when I opened the YouTube app. Well, didn't you get the memo, Bruce?
I sent an email out, Bruce. It's our new show, Monday nights. Monday night's evening.
We're still
show.
Keeping the Thursday show, Bruce. Thursday Australian time. This is just a random photography show.
11 says it looks very Polaroid over my YouTube. Yeah. Look, sometimes YouTube does compress everything. It's brutal. Not a Polaroid.
It does have a film quality, some of the shots.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Bruce, you have my email. Yeah, we know people, Bruce.
Yeah, we don't have. I'm just going to keep on cruising.
No, I've got no
idea. Really like that one.
I mean, some of the color, it could be editing, obviously, but some of the color is very Fuji.
I'll give you a hint. These were edited.
But
is it the R5?
I will only accept guesses that are a combination of the camera and the lens.
Well, I don't remember what lens you had for that. I don't know what Canon lenses are.
The compression on the lens is all the same, pretty much.
You don't have a 28mm lens. So was it, and you wouldn't have taken the 28 to 70 on this kind of trip.
Thanks, AJ. AJ says, Justin, you just proved it doesn't matter what camera you use, they're all good photos. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Or is it does matter. Is it no, you messing with us and it's your phone?
It is not my phone.
Okay. But you might have been messing with us.
You want me to prove it's not my phone?
Hang on.
DigiFrog reckons it's
still loading.
R5 II with a 35. I reckon it's a 35.
It's not. I don't think it's R5 Mark II because I don't
really
think
that. I really like this shot.
Is it the R3 with a 35mm?
Did you say R5 Mark III?
No, R3 with a 35.
It is not.
Is it the R5
Frog? It is not the R5 Mark II with a 35.
Is it R5 Mark One with a 35?
35 what?
I don't know. 1.8, is that what you probably have?
Correct.
Okay.
Well done, Jim.
It is that was a guess because I don't know Canon lenses.
So this was, it is the R5, the OG R5, so the Mark One with the 35 1.8 RF lens, which is like the macro 35. Mm-hmm. I took this to Bali to test. This is the last shot. How cool is that?
That's a cool shot.
Wait for it to handheld. Don't need tripod. Look at that water. Boom. Took it to Bali to test out how I would like shooting with the Q3.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fixed lens. It was the closest I had because Canon hadn't released the 28 2.8 yet. So I didn't take anything else with me, and I wandered around Bali shooting with just that. I went on, you know, a photo stroll in the mornings and the evenings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, looking back, so the difference between this and the Q3 is, one, I prefer the 28mm of the Q3, mm-hmm. and the Q3 is lighter. And the Q3 has JPEGs out of camera that I really like. But looking back at these photos, I love these images and the colors. I just had to edit them. I used Masten Labs Ektar, a modified Ektar preset from Masten Labs that I changed. And I really like the images. So I'm like, I think it's more about, it's not that cameras don't matter, but it was maybe the mindset that I was going into it with that particular camera that that worked.
I think it's a really interesting way to look at, you know, I'm thinking about getting this camera. It's got about this sort of focal distance, this sort of aperture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's a fixed lens, obviously that's something, but it's a really good approach before you go and drop cash on something big. I think we've written articles about this on the site, you know, like shoot with what you have. Start with the kit lens and then go back to Lightroom and look at all your images and work out what's your favorite focal length.
Yeah. Give this advice or whatever, but if you have to, you know, tape your kit lens to a focal length if that's what you need to do to like experience a 35 or whatever.
Yeah.
Put a tape on it. Yeah. Exactly.
If you haven't shot with primes before, tape it up for a day.
To get a feel for it. Yeah. And it was that, because for me, the Q3 was a stupid purchase in terms of like, it doesn't provide any, you know.
You're not making money. You're not going to use it professionally.
I'm not going to use it professionally. Yeah. I can do it with another camera. I know that. It's not magic. It's not a magical camera. It's great to shoot with and I really enjoy it, but it's not magic. But it was like, if I'm going to buy something that's this insanely expensive, I want to make sure I'm at least, if I went away on a holiday with something like this, am I going to go, you know what, I'd actually rather a 24-70, you know, like, silly like that. But no, I come back with a set of photos that I really liked. And then I was like, man, wait till I get the Q3. That'll be fucking way better.
And so after seeing these now, looking back, because obviously you've traveled a bit with the Q3. Like, do you are you enjoying? Would you prefer to shoot with like this setup, 35, or a 28? Say, you know, say if with an equivalent decent 28 from Canon,
it's tough.
And like your R3 or your R5 Mark II.
Yeah, Canon don't have, Canon don't have a 28mm. They have a really lightweight one that's great for travel, and I had some fun with that in Vietnam. But it's a 2.8, and I did like some of these were shot wide open. You know, in low light at night. So I do like having the ability to open up the lens completely to 1.8 or even 1.4 would be nice and have it sharp. So they don't have a 28 that is the quality of a Leica 28. 35 I did find tricky. I can shoot with a 50, but that's pretty limiting as a one lens travel camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. 35 works, but I don't. It's just a little bit tighter than I like. 28's where it's at. And you can always crop a little bit if you need to with 28. Mm. So, but on the other hand, I do like these images looking back at them. So 35 obviously worked in some way.
You made it work.
Yeah, well, it gives you good context.
Yeah.
Especially if you're going to an unfamiliar place, because, you know, and it gives you option, a little bit of option for cropping as well. But I think there's something really important about capturing scale in compositions, yeah, especially like this, you know.
Yeah, you could have been a lot, you could have shot that a lot differently and it'd not been as interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, just the set, the colors, I was really happy, especially with shots like this. Like this was sort of,
yeah, that's like a shot film. Shots.
Yep. It does. And that is partially because, yeah, I edited with Ekdahl, yeah, always looking for nice light. And yeah, I don't know.
Very good.
Good job.
Anyway.
Yeah, there's a lot of film qualities to them in the color.
Mm. Which just proves you also don't need film, but it's fun. Rick's guess was R1 with the 35. I wish that R1 still haunts my dreams. After having
you had it in your hands.
I had it that Canon let me take it overnight.
I know. Like,
rock around with it with my 50 on it, and I got some amazing images. I had so much fun.
Oh, I wouldn't say amazing, but they were good.
Hey, Bruce Moyle says 35 is his favorite bang around lens and focal length. Yeah, it just feels that little bit too tight for me.
Yeah.
28 is so nice.
I use a 23 APS-C, which is basically a 35, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, it is. And that's my favorite focal length for street travel. That's on like a prime, but it's a good focal length.
And finally, Rick says having multiple cameras can be like having like the camera bags, different situations for different cameras. Agree. I do need to have the Canons for shooting more professional stuff. The Leica won't do that. But yeah, I could get away with. Probably not with professional stuff, but I could definitely get away with just the R5 Mark II. But I'd need a few lenses for professional stuff. If I needed just one body, the R5, and obviously, Jim, other than needing two bodies to shoot a wedding, if you just had a Z8, you could do plenty of great work with just the Z8. Yeah. That's a pretty epic camera.
So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Very cool.
Look, we've run half an hour past what we thought of our 1 hour show. Thanks to everyone been in the chat. 12 of you watching right now, I can see you.
Yeah, I really appreciate everyone commenting. Obviously, we've given away some prizes today. Don't get used to that. That's not going to happen every week, but you never know. So it's worth tuning in
if we hit the Camera Life
podcast,
if we
the
hit
random photography show. Yeah, if we hit
896. We'll do something big. 896.
Four to go. 96.
We got close.
Four to go.
What else was on my list? Was there anything else? It's nothing really. Nah, I can save all that next week.
We can
next
leave
week,
next week.
Next week.
Yeah.
We're back next Thursday, week. Though. We're back.
We'll be back on Thursday, 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time.
8 a.m.
Sorry, 8 a.m. We've got an
early one for Mika.
Rhymes with sneaker.
She's coming on 8 a.m. From the Bright Alpine Light Gallery, world-class award-winning landscape photographer. Fresh from a
trip and aerial photographer. Iceland.
And aerial photographer?
Yeah, she does aerial photography too.
Oh, awesome.
Pretty sure I read that somewhere. Maybe I just made that up.
But yeah, 8 a.m. Melbourne time, Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And otherwise, we'll be back on Monday next week.
Special show. For
another episode of the Random Photography Show with a few special guests. Rareview Photography 11 says, thanks, guys. Justin, can I ask a few private questions about some gloves? I'm looking for a set for Norway in 2 weeks. How private? You want to do it on YouTube now? There's only 11 people watching. Or you can email me, justin@luckystraps.com.au, and we'll sort something out. Do that. What else?
That's about it.
Bruce says you are correct.
Who's correct?
We're all correct. I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'm correct.
We'll just go with correct. Yeah.
Thanks, Philip. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Philip.
Thanks for being
here. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're going to draw it to a close, folks, because as the boss man said, J Dog, as I now refer to him, we have run a little over, and that's fine. This is an experimental show. Levin's going to email you, Justin. It's been an experimental show. It's been our first random photography show for the Camera Life podcast. Big things are happening in 2025 for the Camera Life, and we've got some amazing guests. Next Monday night, we have the boys from the Down South Photo Show joining us.
Are they locked in?
Yeah, they're locked in.
It's a party. That'll be
fun. It is a party.
That's going to be fun. I got a heap of questions to ask them.
Yep. So, and we're going to try and work out so that we can stream to obviously our channel on YouTube and our viewers and our subscribers, but also to theirs. It's a little bit of cross-pollination going on the channels. So this has been the Camera Life Podcast, the Random Photography Show. Let us know in the comments what you thought of our first, it was after dark for us here, but what did you think of our first alternative show? It will be a weekly occurrence. And let us know in the comments what you thought. We're only 4 subscribers away from, what's the beer for?
For our episode next week, I guess.
I have
no idea. I've been drinking non-alcoholic beer during this episode.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Did you finish all the beer I got you for Christmas?
Done. It didn't last long. Thank you for that.
Did you get any of that beer?
No, I didn't get any
much.
What?
I brought it to
I'm kidding. Thank you, Greg. I actually have forgotten to say thank you. Justin gave it to me for my birthday and pretended like it was from him.
Oh, I see. I see.
I said I got you a gift, Jim. Bruce Moyle says, thanks, everyone. Rick Nelson says, great show. Ian Thompson says, yes, the Down South photo show boys will need beer.
And so that's next week on Monday, but join us on Thursday.
For Mika. Yeah. Goodbye.
Yeah. Have a great week. I'm really tired.
We're still laughing.